So welcome to this year's Christmas play. We'll call it a skit because, you know, it's a work in progress. The kids really did awesome at working hard for their, the kids and the adults, for their parts. And thanks for everybody. I hope it was fun. We try and keep things lighthearted and not very much pressure because we know there's too much pressure already at Christmas time. So we wanted to just try and remember who this is all about. And hopefully this play is called Everyone Was Worried. And the twist or the spin on it is that we have our panel of Old Testament prophets here. They're like the peanut gallery, the old codgers. And so I'd like to introduce them. We have Micah.
I thought I was going to be the last, not the first.
Oh, sorry.
I'm here to point to Jesus, the Messiah. I don't know.
And we have Isaiah,
had the love of the world.
And Moses.
I am the oldest of the Old Testament prophets, and I've been in heaven for a very long time, and I've been hanging out with very many people who speak different languages, so I tend to change my accent very often when I'm acting back up. It's not that I'm Scottish or Russian or Mexican, it's that I don't know about myself anymore, but I have a little rhyme for you. Seeing this Moses, I've been practicing this one for many years. Moses supposes his toes was poses of roses. But Moses, they say, supposes erroneously. For nobody's toes are poses of roses, as Moses supposes his toes could be.
And Zechariah?
Well, it's going to be tough to follow that up. He always was a little bit long-winded, wasn't he? But I'm the Zechariah from the Old Testament. You may have heard of me.
And Ezekiel.
Oh, good morning, friends. Welcome. You may wonder why I'm speaking like this, but you may not know that I was sent to the wise men to prepare them for where they will go. And so I did pick up a little bit of accent there, yeah. They are from the East, as you know. They are from the East, yes.
Thank you, my heterate Scottish German prophets. All right, so actually, can I get the lights? And if somebody could shut the door for some ambiance back there. Enjoy the show.
I have called this meeting in heaven 2,000 years ago to dispel some rumors that have been going around heaven that God's plans are not coming to pass. There are some people worried about this.
With all due respect, Moses, it's been over 1,000 years since you gave that prophecy. And I quote, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your countrymen, and you shall listen to him."
And with due respect to all the prophets present, I don't think any of us fit the bill.
Furthermore, it's been 400 years since the last prophet Malachi was sent. What's going on?
God has not been so silent in the whole history of Israel.
It is unusual, to say the least.
It's unprecedented.
Unparalleled.
Gentlemen, if you would allow me to quote from a psalm which I wrote some time ago. For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Don't you see that God does not consider time in the same way as we do? His ways are very mysterious. but his will always prevails. May I remind you of all the references in the Torah that I wrote by my own hand. Of the seed of Adam and Eve that would one day crush the head of the serpent, and how God promised to bless all nations through the seed of Abraham. Well, let me tell you that God will prevail and fulfill all at exactly the right time.
And I thought all would be revealed in heaven. It was hard enough back on earth, not even knowing what we are talking about. But now this!
What were you talking about, Ezekiel? You wrote some weird stuff. Even stranger than Daniel.
I object, Your Honor. We just relayed the message God gave us.
Yes, yes, there was a lot of mystery in what we said. So many symbols in the Passover and the tabernacle. And Abraham's almost putting Isaac to death. I can't wait to find out what it all means. And gentlemen, I have reason to believe that the time has come for God to finally act.
Really? How do you know?
Just watch. The story begins with a man, Zechariah, whose son would announce the coming Messiah. Did you see that rhymes a little bit?
That rhymes quite a bit, yes, it does rhyme quite a bit. Very good.
The angel's prediction was met with some doubt. The old man could not speak when he finally came out.
Zechariah, good name. Good name, eh? He's named after me.
Yeah, just shush, shush. Listen.
Everyone was worried the old man had a stroke. They listened intently, only silence he spoke. No sound was forthcoming, and to their consternation, only Elizabeth could keep up the conversation.
What's the matter with him?
Quiet now, listen.
Zechariah, what happened? You look like you've seen a ghost. You did see a ghost? You saw a bird? You saw an angel? What did he say? You are going to have a baby? I am going to have a baby? Oh no. Oh, no, I think he's had a stroke. My dear, come lay down.
Well, now let's hear it for the senior citizens, eh? Way to go, Zechariah and Elizabeth. Do I hear a second to that motion, Abraham, eh? Can you relate to this guy?
Okay, Zechariah, you've made your point now. But listen, there is more to come.
Yes, I see. This was one of the of whom I prophesied, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God.
In the wilderness? Oh, a good old locust and wild honey kind of guy? Hey, I think he's one of us. Is this the prophet who was to come?
Oh, you must wait and see.
The next worried person was a virgin named Mary. You'd too be worried at a vision so scary. A man dressed in white appeared in her room. That with news that a child would appear in her womb.
Greetings, you who have found favor with God, and you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You are to have a son. You are to give him the name Mary, You were to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end.
How will this be? For I am just a virgin.
Yes, like I said, a virgin shall come to be with child.
The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a son in her old age. She was said to be barren in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God.
I am the Lord's servant. Be it to me as you have said.
Oh. Oh, now is everybody happy?
No, actually. I'm sorry. Oh.
Well, what is it, Micah?
Well, I'm sorry now, but I have a major objection, Your Honor. I specifically said that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Let me remind you of what I said. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come from me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. And now look what's happened. God picks some girl from Nazareth? That's 70 miles away from Bethlehem. How's it going to work now?
And I have another objection. Mary is so young, barely a teenager. The fate of the world is riding on this kid?
Zechariah, it is very hard to believe for most of us here, but you were once young too, eh? But did God not have a plan for you? Did you not carry it out to the best of your ability? I don't know about that, but... So you be patient, okay?
Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
And now we get to the most worried of one of all. Joseph, poor Joseph, his problems weren't small. Mary, dear Mary, was found to be with child. The thought of losing her almost made Joseph wild. An angel appeared to him in his sleep and told him that Mary, his betrothed, he could keep. Joseph's joy knew no bounds. Now his wife would give birth. The child was from God and would save the whole earth.
Hey, I like this. Did we or did we not predict the promised one would come from the house of David?
We did it! As I said, a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse. Both Mary and Joseph are in the house of the lineage of David.
Now, let's not forget that it was God who worked all this out.
The next worried person was none other than Caesar, who in his old age became an august old geezer. To know how much tax he expected to figure, a census would prove that his empire was bigger. Bethlehem turned out to be Joseph's hometown. The poor tired couple dusty roads traveled down. But worries awaited them when they got there. No rooms were available, not anywhere.
Daniel predicted one like the Son of Man, glowing in splendor. Let me guess, they'll end up in the palace?
A palace? Well, I guess a place is a palace if the king is there.
I still don't understand. I predicted that the Messiah would ride a donkey. But how can this be the fulfillment? He is still inside his mother.
Oh, Zechariah, my brother. Keep the faith.
Joseph worked hard. He did all he was able. The only place that he could find was a stable. He fretted and worried about what he would do with a wife who looked like she was overdue. He fretted and worried he just couldn't stop with a wife who looked like she was ready to pop.
I trust in God, but I don't understand. In all these troubles, I don't see God's hand.
Oh, Isaiah, you don't need to speak in verse all the time, okay?
Oh, yeah, sorry. I couldn't help it. Anyway, I don't see how this all fits together.
I can't help wondering when this mighty king I predicted is going to appear. In a stable? With the animals?
Oh, my brothers, just watch. The time has come.
Mary and Joseph were now past all worry. They hardly had time. They were in such a big hurry. Mary and Joseph felt a small, fearful pang as baby came not with a whimper but a bang. Then the Lord of the universe... Then the Lord of the Then the Lord of the universe split history in two. The Lord of all time made time stand still too. Gasping, the small baby entered the world crying, a foretaste of how he would leave the world dying. And into this sick world, God came to be with us, salvation and hope and joy to now give us.
I think I'm beginning to understand. It fits in with a whole lot of stuff. I wrote about a suffering servant. Yes, it is becoming clearer now.
But is that it? How will God tell the world?
What child is this that lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels sit around the sea, while shepherds watch their keeping? What the key, shepherds, God and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him the babe, the son of Mary.
And now we must pause and give our attention to a group of young shepherds, it goes without mention, who were worried that life might be passing them by when all heaven broke loose as angels did fly. But please pardon me, I am really sorry that I'm getting far ahead of the story. But sitting here in my chair, slowly I'm writing. The next scene, I find that it's truly exciting.
What I like about David was he could look up at the stars at night and write a poem about it. The heavens declare the glory of God.
The stars proclaim the works of his hands.
He alone is my rock
and my salvation.
He is my fortress.
I will not be shaken.
I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from?
My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip.
And hey, the next line is good for sleepy shepherds. He who watches Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. He who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want.
Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water.
As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God.
Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God.
And they say we're just dumb shepherds.
The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them, then he rebukes him in his anger and terrifies him with wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill.
Who is David speaking about? Himself?
No, I think he was talking about a greater king, one that was to come.
Nobody was a greater king than David.
What about that anointed one he always talked about?
Yeah, the Messiah. When he comes, we'll get rid of those Romans. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will rule them with an iron scepter. You will dash into pieces like pottery.
I don't know if the Messiah is ever going to come.
Yeah, not in our lifetime.
Does God really care about us? I mean, we're just a bunch of shepherds.
I mean, Moses was a shepherd too.
Yeah, I know. God used Moses 40 years of herding sheep to teach him the patience he needed to lead the people for 40 years in the wilderness. But God spoke to him out of a burning bush, for crying out loud. When was the last time God spoke to anyone around here? 400 years and not one prophet.
400 years of slavery, then came Moses. 400 years of the judges, and then came the kings.
We need a king now.
Does God care about us anymore?
When I consider your heavens, the works of my fingers, the winds and the stars which you have set into place.
Yeah, what's a man that you're mindful of? The son of man that you care for him.
Just changing the topic slightly here, but have you guys ever wondered what those stars actually are?
I always thought they were angels guarding the gates of heaven.
Some think they're faraway suns like ours.
I like to think of them as faraway campfires with little groups of people gathering around each one, just like us here.
You think there might be other people out there somewhere?
There are angels out there.
Yeah, right. When's the last time an angel appeared to anyone around here? Hey, what are you guys looking at? I combed my hair this morning.
Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for all people everywhere. This very day in the town of David, a Savior has been born unto you. He is Christ and the King you have waited for, and here is a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths laying in a manger.
I don't believe it. Those were
angels.
This is crazy. Tell me we were dreaming.
God heard us.
I think we better get going.
Where to?
To find the baby.
Yeah, the king.
Like, what about the sheep?
Where are the sheep?
They're gone. They must have been scared away.
Oh, no. Our parents are going to kill us.
Oh, no.
Zoinks!
No, wait. There they go. They're heading towards town. Let's follow them.
Sheep.
saw the angel who appeared on that night. We saw the shepherds frozen with fright. We heard the angels as they did sing. We heard of a baby born to be king. We know this might sound kind of odd, but we knew where to find the dear Lamb of God. We led the shepherds right to the manger. We know the good shepherd's no longer a stranger.
Let's hear it for King David. I had forgotten that he was a prophet as well as a king.
I think David would like this next part. He loved to talk about all the nations, how they would one day come to worship God. In this next part, we will see how Magi from the east came following a star, looking for a sign.
Astrologers, and they were able to predict the birth of a king?
Yes, and they're not even Hebrews. Whatever is God up to now?
You will see. You will see.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. The hope of hosts, the weary world rejoices, for yonder break a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh,
to the heavens, and there saw the news that a king would be born in the land of the Jews. And just like all of our friends in this story, as they traveled, they worried and became sorry that they ever had started on this wild goose chase quest, but something inside them would give them no rest.
I say we turn around and go home. My feet. I say we turn around to go home. My feet are killing me.
I told you we should have taken the camels, but no, you said. We'll walk, you said. We need exercise, you said.
Hush! My wearing brothers. My ears are getting tired from your constant bickering.
Your ears are tired? My whole body's tired. When are we ever going to find that godforsaken place?
We are already in the land of the Jews. We are near the end of our quest. Would you turn back now after all our travels?
That's what you say every day. We are close to the end of our quest.
My son, it is a universal answer to the question of children. Are we there yet?
What are we going to find at the end of our quest? How do we know that the stars not led us on some kind of cosmic joke?
Look. All right. I forgot my line. All right. All right, you two. Go back to your mothers. Go back to your jobs. If I have to, I will go on alone. I will search all of my life. I want to find this king.
The king of the Jews.
No, the king of the whole world. The king of the entire universe. He is the one that the prophets of old told and prophesied about. He was the one that people have been searching for their whole lives to understand whether God is still interested in human affairs. He has written the law in our hearts, is how the Hebrew sages put it.
He's right, Malkyar.
He's always right.
But I too have felt it that all my life I have been searching for this child who will put to rest the war between heaven and earth.
Yes, Balthazar, you two are right. I could not forgive myself if I had not joined you on this journey, and I could not forgive myself if I had not turned back now. I've turned back now.
Come, my fumbling, stumbling, grumbling brothers. We are the city you see in the distance. It's Jerusalem. It is the home of the present king. Although I understand he is a puppet of the Romans and despised by the Jews. Let us go and inquire.
And so the three came to Herod's big palace, where they could not have known he was filled with vile malice. They innocently asked where the king had been born. Herod found himself seething. He was really torn. He went to his wise men, all fretting and fuming. His worrying then became quite all-consuming. This child could wreck all if I let him, I bet. But don't count me out. I'm not finished just yet.
A king of the Jews? Excuse me a minute. Are you God? A ruler over Judah? Bethlehem, you say? Star appeared when? 2 years ago? Imagine, it takes Magi from the east to tell us something right under our noses. Thank you. You have been most helpful. If you keep on traveling, it is just a few miles to Bethlehem, where you may well find the baby you seek. Oh, and when you find him, could you come back and tell me so I could get right into worshiping the child?
Joy to the world.
All right. You don't have any more?
I do.
Okay. Joy to the world. Ready?
Sure.
Go.
Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive a king. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature. nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing.
You probably know how they came to the town, where they found the Christ child and went kneeling down. Each one gave his treasures anew in his heart, that they had meant God, and it was only the start. I'm sorry that time does not permit us to say of how Joseph and Mary had to flee that day. Refugees, they went down to Egypt land. They trusted in God, though they didn't understand. And now we will close in the same way we did start, with the prophets of old who still worry at heart. 2,000 more years later, God's ways are still mystery, but God is still king over all of Earth's history.
Yes, my friends. It's been a while we've been together, 2,000 years now. But I've called this meeting to dispel some rumors that they've been going around heaven once again, that God's plans for his people are still not coming to pass.
Well, with all due respect, Moses, it's been over 2,000 years since the Messiah first came. And what has happened since?
And with due respect to all the prophets present, I don't know when the prophecies are ever going to be fulfilled.
And do you think we are worried? Those people on Earth don't know what's happening.
They look for Christ's return, but I think many have given up hope.
May I remind you of God's promise to Abraham that I wrote down in Genesis? That every nation would be blessed through him and his offspring, who is Jesus Christ. Don't you see that this has been going on for the last 2,000 years? The gospel is spreading, and the time will come when God will write the last chapter of history. Our job remains the same, to encourage people to look up.
I wonder, when the last time these people read the book of Zechariah?
Or the book of Ezekiel?
Or Isaiah?
Or my personal favorite, Micah?
Ah, yes. But that is why we are here, all of you people. To remind these people of the great things of old. It is December the 9th. So it must be that we are at the Crow's Nest Community Christian Center.
Oh, yes, I know the place. One of my best students in my class came from this church, their pastor, Al Robinson. He asked so many questions. I like to see that in a student.
Great things are happening in their world, but they're unaware of what God is doing, what he wants to do. Right here in their own community.
Instead, they are worried about things.
And they are worried about their families.
And they're worried about their jobs.
Worried about Christmas, for goodness sake.
Look how they run around.
So busy getting ready for Christmas, they forgot why they're doing it.
If only they would realize that God is in control. If they would only give him the rightful place in their hearts. They need to stop worrying. You people need to stop worrying and start worshiping.
And it begins by kneeling down, first at the cradle,
then at the cross.
Everyone was worried at the first Christmas time, with dread turned into delight, into real joy sublime. Everyone was worried, all except one, and that one is God, the Father and Son. He knows exactly how the story will unfold, and there are some chapters yet to be told. We are called to be faithful, to look up and to learn. Let's worship and serve him until his return.
He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
No autographs, people. Thank you.
Let's pray a blessing over the kids and the teachers this morning. What an awesome performance. Lord, we thank you for all that took part this morning, presenting your story, Lord. And Father, we thank you for that we don't have to worry this Christmas as we start to worship and put our faith and our trust and look up to you. Lord, we pray your richest blessing upon the teachers. Thank you for Corey and all those that helped and the teachers, Lord, weekly as they pour out their lives for our young kids each Sunday morning. Thank you for the kids. Lord, continue to bless them. Build their faith up, Lord, day by day, week by week. As we teach them, Lord, may they come into a deeper relationship with you. And Lord, we give you thanks this Christmas for your son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we just commit the rest of the day to you, our time of fellowship. In Jesus' precious name, amen.